the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, the past few weeks, the gospel readings have focused on two large themes. And both of these themes, as Jesus himself acknowledges today, are difficult to comprehend. Because they're difficult to comprehend, not everyone will get it. And that means not everyone will get Jesus. Some may not accept Jesus. In fact, some disciples listening in the passage today admit that Jesus' teaching is difficult and complained about it openly. Not only that, though, because of its difficulty, we are told, quote, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. They leave Jesus. So Jesus puts the core 12 apostles to the test. He asks them if they wish to go too. Jesus gives his followers an out. And it is Simon Peter, who speaks for the group and says, quote, you have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. That is, Peter says, we believe that you, Jesus, are the Messiah, the true Savior, and as such, you are the one and only salvation of God. So what are these two themes in the scripture today? Well, I'll tackle the first, because the first is what is for us in the church today probably the easier of the two, although it was quite the opposite in Jesus' day. And this first theme is the liturgical theme of Jesus as the bread of life, the bread being the body, and the cup being the blood. Jesus says today, quote, those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me and me in them, just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father. Whoever eats of me will live because of me. Now, let's put ourselves back in Jesus' time, before ecumenical councils, before Roman Catholic theology of transubstantiation and Lutheran consubstantiation, and I guess the Episcopal Anglican splitting the difference between the two, where we talk about the real presence of Christ, real spiritual presence of Christ in the elements that we'll experience at the altar in a few moments. Try and imagine how this sounded back then, fresh from the lips of Jesus. Unless you eat of me and drink my blood. Now, either that's going to sound like some crazy esoteric metaphor, or it's going to sound like cannibalism. So it is no wonder that people found Jesus' teaching difficult or even impossible to believe then. Jesus' body and blood, bread and wine? So many in the gospel, or most we're told in the gospel today, they pondered this. They even complained about it, we are told. And they left. They walked away from Jesus, except for the core 12 apostles. This liturgical theology, this theme, was what they couldn't accept about the bread and the wine, the body and the blood. That was what then was onerous or a stumbling block to belief. But today, though, it is the second theme, connected theme, that doesn't compute. And that theme is for our contemporary, postmodern, global, multicultural, religiously pluralistic world, is the theme, the idea, the notion that there is one and only one Messiah, whatever that metaphor for describing the Messiah is. Bread, wine, whatever. The theme, the notion, the idea that there is only one path to God. An exclusive Savior, Jesus, who is the Son of God. A God who, if one partakes, believes, and confesses him and only him, we are granted eternal life. In the words we heard a couple weeks ago, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, back in Jesus' day, folks expected a Savior. They were expecting someone to come to and proclaim themselves to be the Savior. So believing in a Savior, believing in the Messiah, was not a problem. Today, however, most people, at least those outside the church, don't believe in any salvific power beyond their own expressive individualism as a way to justify and save. Sure, some folks play with the language of faith. We've all heard people say, media and elsewhere, demonstrably false things like the free market will save us. I mean, the free market will save us, really, in the face of growing imbalance between the haves and the have-nots, in the face of the persistence of poverty. Or sometimes you hear that science will save us, or technology will save us. This is in the face of all the technology that we've ever had, leading to more and more disenchantment, climate change, and the complex technological war machinery that exists today. Perhaps the sentimentalist in us hums the Beatles song, All You Need Is Love. But human nature seems to skip the move from the nice words and the feelings to substantive action when the next song comes on the radio. Music will save. Now, mind you, economics, science, and music are not bad. They have their place. We all need them. They are good for what they do. It's just that they are not theology. They cannot take the place of God. They cannot save. And this leads to the issue of exclusivism that we have in the gospel today. That salvation only comes through Jesus and, by extension, through Christianity alone. Now, I'll admit, this is something that I have struggled with my entire life. And I don't know if I have any answers. Does that sound funny for a priest to say? What's that old chestnut about therapists counseling others to work out their own issues? Well, maybe one of the reasons that I went into philosophy of religion, specializing in Zen Buddhism and Western Christianity. Because as a Japanese American, I've always grown up knowing that some of my family was Christian, some was kind of a combination of Buddhist and Shinto, and then some was, well, really nothing at all. It's like what Emerson was rumored to have said about the divinity faculty at Harvard. The faculty had three believers, three skeptics, and three dyspeptics. Now, I suspect that we all have families that are a little like this in a modern world. Knowing that people that you love, your own flesh and blood, or neighbors, or friends, good people, that those folks might be like those folks in the gospel today who walked away from Jesus. And knowing, in the logic of this gospel, and knowing that if they're not walking with him, that they are not going to that heavenly banquet in the sky. No, according to the gospel today, they're going to a barbecue. a barbecue that's somewhere south of the heavenly banquet. So how do we, as contemporary people, as broad-minded, inclusive Episcopalians, that's what we all are, how do we reconcile the hard words of Christian exclusivism with our own deeply held democratic, equal opportunity, culturally conscious, 21st century worldviews? Even when those views come into direct conflict with one's own heritage, do we become like those followers in today's gospel who say, no, that's too hard to believe, Jesus, and just walk away? And if we walk away from Jesus, does God ever really walk away from us? Now, I've been thinking about this recently as the Japanese-American community in Southern California has been celebrating our summer festival the past few weeks. Now, historically, these festivals grew out of Japanese religious observances for venerating ancestors. And today, at the closing ceremony, I'll even go full yukata. Yukata is a summer kimono, which is sort of like an alb, which in truth is more accurately described as a man dress. Now, I won't dance bon odori, but that is not because I've got a philosophical problem with it. I can't square dance either. But I will be on the sidewalks of Little Tokyo celebrating friends and family who are dancing. I'll be there cheering them on because somebody has to do that, and isn't cheering itself a form of participation? Now, I hope this doesn't sound like a cliche. I'm not a figure from a Jane Austen novel. You know, that stock and trade figure, the comic character of the bumbling vicar who has lost faith or has doubts. No, in fact, I'm quite the opposite. Even if there are questions from the gospel that I still struggle with, I believe passionately in Jesus. I believe absolutely that he is the Messiah, the Son of God. And I've spent a lot of time and a lot of my life studying comparative religion and not only believing, but knowing that Christianity has a lot of things worked out. I have faith that Christianity is the right way, and I have that faith in the very essence of my soul. But you know, in that soul somewhere, there is also a little Zen. I am a Japanese American, and I also have to believe that Jesus did not come to nullify all that is constitutive of who we are, whatever our family background is, but he came to up and take all of us into his greater glory. Yes, I believe that Jesus, is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through him. But I also believe, and I hope, that God will look at me when I approach those pearly gates. He'll look at me like you look at one of those paintings where you have to blink a few times and then look away and then look back to see the image inside the image. I hope that God will look at all of us with that same relaxed vision, and seeing us in all our humanness, open that gate for us anyway.